Welcome to installment 50 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains four commandments relating to Yom Kippur. Positive commandment 165, to rest on Yom Kippur. Prohibition 329, not to work. Positive commandment 164, to fast. And prohibition 196, not to eat. Just as we discussed in relation to Shabbos, that there is a positive commandment to rest, and a prohibition against working, so too on Yom Kippur we have the same two ideas. Positive commandment 165 is to rest on Yom Kippur, and this is to refrain from any of the sorts of creative activities known as malacha, as we discussed in our discussion of Hilcha Shabbos, that there are 39 categories of activity, quite different from the common English the concept in the English language of work, that one is prohibited from engaging in on Shabbos, and the same applies to Yom Kippur. This prohibition derives from the phrase Shabbos Shabbosim Hi Lochem, this is a day of rest for you. And many times the Rambam has explained this phrase elsewhere in Sefer HaMitzvahs, regarding the Shemitah year, the seventh year of rest for the land, and so on, that any place where the word Shabbosim is used, this indicates there is a positive requirement, a positive commandment to rest, to refrain from the relevant sorts of work. Another expression in that section of the book of Leviticus where the holidays are discussed, there is a statement of v'chol malacha loisasu, one may not do any work, any malacha. And this is the source for prohibition number 329, the corresponding prohibition that one may not do work. Therefore, one that does one of these acts would be violating this prohibition, as well as nullifying the positive commandment 165 of rest. The punishment for one that does work on Yom Kippur, as explained in the verses, is that if one does an intentional act of work, the punishment is kares, an excision of the soul. Should one do the act unintentionally, not knowing it is prohibited, for example, b'shegeg, then they would have to bring a chatas kvua, a sin offering as prescribed in the Torah, as we will discuss later on in the laws of the sacrifices. This is actually the primary difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur, applied to this idea of work, that on Shabbos, should one do an intentional malacha, one would be punishable by death, should there be witnesses, and of course at the time that the temple was in existence. The punishment was skila, or stoning. However, on Yom Kippur, the punishment is a heavenly one, kares, an excision of the soul. All the details of this law are discussed in the Talmudic tractates Beya, Megillah, and elsewhere. The Chinuch explains the idea behind this prohibition, that since this is a day which is singled out for our forgiveness from God, a day of atonement, all of our attention should be concentrated and directed towards this end. Should we be allowed to engage in other activities, we would be diverted and distracted from this goal. And therefore, God prohibited these forms of malacha in order that we should be able to properly concentrate and devote ourselves in this day to correcting our mistakes in the past and making firm resolutions for the future. Despite the strictness and severity of this prohibition, nevertheless, should a person's life be endangered, just as in Shabbos, the laws of Shabbos are put aside for this purpose of saving a life, so too on Yom Kippur. As the story is told of the Alter Rebbe, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, who in the middle of the Yom Kippur prayer suddenly left the shul and walked to the other side of town. When the people of the town followed him, they discovered he was going to a woman who had recently given birth, whose house was freezing and she was in physical danger as a result of the cold. And the Alter Rebbe chopped wood for her himself and made a fire for her. All of these acts which are prohibited on Shabbos and Yom Kippur, such as chopping the wood and lighting the fire and so on, he did it in order to save this woman's life and also to show other people that there is nothing wrong with doing so, and the opposite is true, it is actually a requirement to do so should a life be in danger. Positive commandment 164 is the commandment basically to fast on Yom Kippur. The verse in Leviticus literally says, Ta'anu es nafshei seichem, you shall afflict your souls. The question is, what is the inui, the affliction being referred to here? The Sifra explains that this is referring to a sort of affliction which involves in a loss, a destruction of the soul. What is this? This is refraining from eating and drinking, that if a person would not eat or drink, the person would lose their soul, they would cease to exist. And this is the affliction spoken of here. This is all what we learn from the first time. The necessity of afflicting oneself is mentioned in the Chumash. However, there is a second time it is mentioned. Shabbos Shabbosan hi lochem, v'nisem es nafshoseichem, that you shall rest, which was our positive commandment 165. And also you should afflict yourselves, repeating this concept a second time. The Rambam quotes our sages who say in the tractate Yuma that this comes to include other forms of affliction, namely the four categories of washing, anointing, wearing leather shoes, and engaging in marital relations. And there are these additional forms of affliction is learned out by the double expression Shabbat Shabbosin, you shall surely rest, which is interpreted that the first time it says rest, meaning simply what we mentioned at the beginning of today's portion, positive commandment 165, rest and do not work. The second statement that one should rest involves resting from feeding the body and engaging in those things which sustain the body, naming these forms of physical care, washing and wearing shoes and so on. The Rambam quotes the Sifra, which brings out the same idea explicitly, by saying that these four categories are learned by the double expression Shabbos Shabbosin, which means that one should rest, refrain from all of these things in order to attain the state of affliction. What is the purpose of engaging in refraining from these sorts of physical enjoyment and physical activity? The commentaries explain that when one minimizes one's involvement in the physical, there is an automatic strengthening of the spiritual aspects of a person. And if on this day of Yom Kippur we would engage in all of these physical acts, we would simply strengthen our desire for the physical and have more of a pull towards them and more of a possibility of doing sin. On this day, we must strengthen the power of the soul, strengthen our spiritual resources without any thoughts of physicality being mixed in. Therefore, we refrain from all these sorts of physical enjoyment to give our soul the chance to shine through. As the sages also say that on Yom Kippur, we are similar to the malachim, similar to the angels, which explains the custom of wearing the kittel, the white garment on Yom Kippur, imitating the purity and the elevation above physical concerns of the angels, which we imitate and emulate on Yom Kippur. Although some commentaries learn that these other four forms of affliction are prohibited only by rabbinic decree, they learn that the Rambam holds it as a Torah prohibition. Part of the prohibition 196 we will soon be explaining, and so too is the halacha that it is prohibited by biblical law. Its interpretation, however, was given over to the sages. Therefore, we see certain cases of leniency. For example, a bride, for the 30 days after she has been married, is allowed to wash her face, even though normally washing for enjoyment is prohibited. And the purpose of this is to strengthen her connection with her husband, since they have just been newly wed, in order to ensure that there will not be any split or weakening of their newly made connection. The Baal HaTurim explains that this total of five categories of affliction, since eating and drinking are normally counted together, these five categories correspond to the five levels of the soul, as well as the five prayers which we engage in Yom Kippur. This fifth prayer is the unique aspect of Yom Kippur over all other holidays, which have four prayers, the regular three for every day, and the Musaf. In addition to these, on Yom Kippur we have the Ne'ilah prayer. And this special aspect of Yom Kippur is one of the explanations that is Achas Bashana, as the Torah says. It is singular, one in the whole year. As Chassidus explains, that the idea of oneness comes into full revelation on Yom Kippur. Achas Bashana means not only that it is the one day of the year, it is unique, but it is the day of complete oneness, which also corresponds to the fifth level of the soul. As explained in Medrash, this is Yechidah Shebenefesh, the oneness of the soul, the innermost essence of a Jew, which is totally united with God. And this innermost spark of godliness comes into a revealed, potent, activated state on Yom Kippur. And engaging in the five forms of affliction helps reveal this innermost aspect of the soul, so it should come out in actuality. Prohibition 196 is the corresponding prohibition of eating on Yom Kippur. The punishment for this is kares, an excision of the soul. However, this is only if one eats or drinks on Yom Kippur. One of the other four inuyim does not incur the penalty of kares. In Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam gives his sources for where he knows these are counted in the 613 commandments, and sometimes this involves certain technical issues. And so too here. Normally, a prohibition in the Torah has one verse indicating that the act is prohibited, and another saying what punishment is incurred. However, here, we have only a verse indicating the punishment, and not another verse for the prohibition. The Rambam now derives how we know this is considered a prohibition if there is no specific verse saying it is prohibited. First of all, the Rambam quotes the beginning of the tractate Krisus, and it counts there which are the acts for which one is culpable and punishable by kares. And it lists among them eating on Yom Kippur, and then says all of this, every one on this list, is a negative commandment except for two. The two are excluded are the Korban Pesach and the circumcision, as we will discuss in those places. What do we learn from this? By implication, since everything on that list is a prohibition, so to this prohibition also being on that list must be counted as one of the 365 negative commandments. Another proof that Rambam brings is the statement at the beginning of Krisus that one is punished by kares for an intentional act. But however, v'shegek, for an unintentional act, one would have to bring a chatas, a fixed sin offering. And the Gemara Ha'iriyah says clearly that any time we have this requirement of a sin offering, it is referring to a negative commandment. As the verse there says, one of the mitzvahs of Hashem, asher leisei osena, that one is prohibited from doing. Since in this case one must bring the sin offering, this is a clear proof that it is a prohibition. As the Rambam explained in his introductory section, though, we must at least have a hint to where the prohibition is, even if we have an explicit punishment. The Rambam brings a rather complex proof from the Sifra, which gives the implication from where we learn this. The Sifra asks this question, where do we have a proof that this is prohibited? And the Sifra answers that we have an extra verse. There is a verse stating that one gets punished for doing work on Yom Kippur. And the Sifra says this verse is extra, since we already know that one would be punished for working on Shabbos and Yom Tov. And in these Shabbos and Yom Tov, we don't even have a prohibition against eating. And we see that Yom Kippur is more strict, that one does get punished for eating. Why then does one need this extra verse of a punishment for working? Yom Kippur in this respect is more strict than Shabbos and Yom Tov. And the Sifra answers that we use this to learn out our prohibition that one is forbidden from eating. Just as the punishment when it comes to working on Yom Kippur comes only after there is a prohibition of work, so too there's a punishment one incurs for eating on Yom Kippur comes only after the implied prohibition that one is not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. This concludes the Rambam, proves his point that it counts as one of the 613 commandments. The rest of the details of these commandments are explained at the end of the tractate Yuma. Our sages tell us that just as it is a mitzvah to fast on Yom Kippur, it is a mitzvah to eat on the day before Yom Kippur. Should one do so and eat in a broad, rich fashion, it is counted as if he has fasted for 2 days in a row, and so too it is said to be a special help for wealth during the coming year. The story is told in Medrash of a certain officer who sent his servant off to buy a fish in the market. The fish was worth one zehuf. However, along came a Jewish tailor and outbid him for double the price. The bargaining went back and forth until finally the Jew bought it for five, and the servant refused to pay so much money. When the officer heard this, he was furious and called in the tailor. And the tailor answered him, even should it have been more money I would pay, because today is Erev Yom Kippur, and we are promised that should we eat well on the day before Yom Kippur, God forgives us for everything we have done. This, of course, only applies if one has rectified any of the misdeeds one has done, especially those between fellow men, which are not expunged simply by stating the al-chet and verbal statements one must correct the misdeed. However, the Yom Kippur still, after this is done, will rectify the wrong and achieve atonement. And the officer answered, if this is why you bought it, then you have done a very wonderful thing. And he sent him off peacefully on his way. Thank you for tuning into the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor a share, contact Sichas in English at 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.